Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you on this Friday. Friday. And joining me is the exciting and exuberant, all smiles, the producer of VFN Radio program, whose emotions you can't even catch up with because there's so many of them. I mean, you have to literally... Pat Hamilton!
Hello.
Oh, there you go. I even wore a Saints shirt. And the one, the only, whose hair is finally growing at least a micro eighth inch, John Ramos.
Good morning. Good morning.
No words.
Oh, it's so exciting about being here. And everybody's been doing a wonderful job. Maintaining the encouraging voice of VFN Radio. Give a shout out to all of our new listeners that are joining us in the virtual stadium. About a half hour ago, Eric, welcome to the stadium, the virtual audience of VFN Radio. Also want to welcome Jackie and Linda and Tom and Robert and Eduardo and Pablo and Charles and Pam and Tina and Gloria and Steven and oh my goodness, so many of you guys, we just want to welcome you. We always want to take a point every time we come on to thank you for joining us. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this Friday to encourage you is the exuberant, most excited, hard to get a control of his emotions, Patrick Hamilton.
Hello.
That was intense. It was intense. And John Ramos.
Hello.
You were listening to VFN Radio. Well, good Friday. Here we are. No, it's not good Friday, but it's a good Friday. It's a good Friday because I'm here.
All right.
Man, I tell you what. So many things are taking place. I can't even keep up with them. But today, we want to take a moment and remember that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, this will be a day that will live in
infamy.
And that it was the day that World War II started when Japan came and bombed Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing, you know, how I was listening to an interview early this morning on Fox News where... one of the ones, the young man who was throwing a paper route when he found out. No, actually, he was in school, going to art school, or had these plans for, he was a young boy throwing a paper route, but he had plans to be an art student, and he heard the news that what had happened. Mm. And immediately, he and all of his friends dropped all their plans, and they went and registered for the war, and he became a fighter pilot. I think he fought 100 and something missions, something of that nature. I think his book that he wrote, I don't think of his name right now, is A Wide Place in the Road. A Wide Place in the Road. And he was throwing a paper route in Northern California in a small town. He kind of explains in his book about how it was like in life prior to World War II. And then, of course, his dad had fought in World War I, so he's like, pretty much America at that point was isolationist. He's like, we don't care, we don't want to get involved anymore, that was horrific, we don't do that, even though, thank you. Who was the president that got us in all that stuff? World War I?
Don't know.
You don't know? Oh, my goodness. Woodrow.
Woodrow,
because he wanted big government. It was Woodrow. The default setting is Woodrow.
I see.
Yeah. It was Woodrow.
It was bad, yeah.
Yeah, and so, anyway, we won't go into Woodrow. You can find out more about him on the VFN Torch. But they said, we don't want to do that again. But once the Japanese came and bombed our ships, you've probably seen some news... films you've probably seen, maybe even seen a movie called Pearl Harbor, but it was real, it really happened. And he said, but it was so different then, it was defined. We knew who the enemy was, we fought the enemy. He says, I can't even imagine, I feel so bad for the guys today because they say, kill that one, but not that one. And how confusing that is. I mean, we knew who the enemy was, he said, we went and dealt with it, we did business, and we came home. And he said, today it's just so difficult. And he's talking about having empathy for today's soldier. He has to almost be an attorney. I remember in law enforcement, when it got that way for a while in law enforcement, really still is today, they had attorneys meet with us in training and try to give us legal advice about when to draw our gun and when not to draw our gun. It's like, so it caused deputies begin to get squeamish when drawing their gun or not, which means it causes you to get hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was just crazy because they were worried about, you know, people's opinion. And they always said it's better to be, you know, tried by 12 than carried by six, you know, which means a jury, a jury of 12 versus six people carrying your casket. Mm. Well, you know, today is the day. I mean, this is the day. I mean, think about it. All of a sudden you're starting your day and then all of a sudden you hear out of the middle of nowhere, you hear that Japan is bombing our ships. I mean, imagine Norfolk and all. I don't know if you've ever been to Norfolk before, but Norfolk.
No, I haven't.
It looks like a city. It looks like New York City, but instead of buildings, it's ships.
Wow.
I mean, forever. I mean, it's just like a kid's dream in regards to looking at ships. And they're all gray. And if you're in the military, sometimes it's like a bad dream how to get out of here. And imagine them just shooting the ships and bombing the ships. And just killing the soldiers on them, and they were just fighting for their lives, trying to come out. They were just totally caught by surprise, and that's when World War II started.
I believe 2,000 military actually lost their life that day.
And it was just tragic. It was totally tragic. But today, you think about it, how many scenes like that happened? That's 9/11.
Hello.
That's 9/11. But yet, you know, we say, and of course, President Bush was more decisive in regards to, you know, we are going, that's Pat's joints. We are going to deal with the enemy. We're going to bring justice. He adjusted that statement later on, but in regards, he just went aggressively after the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of more defined, but still, it's a different day. I think because we choose to be a different day, because if you just say, if you're going to live with the enemy, you're not going to live long. And then people will start separating themselves from those people who are doing the Pearl Harbor bombings. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, we need to change our location or change their location. But now it's just like it's so ingrained. It makes you wonder about, you know, how it's going to be. You know, we are, I believe, in the last days, because it's just constant stress of war. You're constant in this state of constant war, and people just trying to declare peace, and it's like the enemy's everywhere. How can you declare peace?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get them out of here first, and then let's say it's over with. But you know, this is a day we want to remember our veterans and empathize. You know, World War II vet was empathizing with today's soldier, because you know, and you can remember Steve talking about it. You know, Steve up in Pittsburgh, and we'll give a shout out to Steve this morning. And you clear a house, you don't know who's going to be the bad guy and who's going to be the good guy. He's in Iraq, and it was just really difficult to find out, you know, who's going to be there. And previously it's like, okay, we're going to level this village. And they, you know, we drop leaflets or whatever, you know, it says, you know, in whatever language they need to be in, you need to clear the village because it's not going to be here any longer. And we would just do business and come back. And I think war should begin and it should end.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, if my friend or I gave my life for this, you know, what did I give my life for? If you're just going to, am I a bullet in your gun that you just want to shoot to possibly do something? Or is there a definite vision in what we're doing, where we're going?
Right.
And it's almost like the military is being used like CIA or FBI instead of a military force, which is to go in and fight wars and to win wars. I mean, that's the whole purpose of it. Not to, you know, to be
this. And the spying expedition there.
Well, you know, reportedly, according to the news, they're stating that the president's wanted to hire more spies with the Pentagon and the military than that will totally cause the CIA spies amount of spies to be minor compared to that.
Wow.
Which, you know, we always go, well, it's kind of good to have cameras everywhere. And it's like, yeah, but tomorrow you're going to be on them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And if you study martial law says that all those spies in the military under the commander in chief, which is the president, whoever that is, under martial law, they could put those spies on us.
Well, let's not forget that, you know, during Pearl Harbor, the Japanese Americans that lived here were all rounded up and into camps.
Yes.
I mean, their freedoms were violated.
Right. It's kind of hard, I mean, you can talk to some of the Japanese Americans who will say they understood it, and you talk to some of the Japanese Americans, you know, you're talking generations later now, you know, didn't. But when the weather underground's all over the place, you know, like in the '60s, and they're blowing things up, is it better to lose your your FBI building and your police officers in that building next week. I mean, you got to really, I mean, that's where martial law comes in. I mean, martial law comes in when it's been exercised since George Washington, you know, and what to do with it. It gets really rough. I mean, if you ever had to be over something and every parent has had declared martial law.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we were voting on things, but right now that's stupid. We're not doing that, you know. And every school system, any principals had to declare, you know, a form of you know, trumping things. And there comes a time, and God, you know, obviously. But the thing about it, when you talk about spies, you talk about spies. And just to read, we're going to probably be talking more about that in the future. But, you know, CIA, you can't spy. Americans cannot spy on Americans. You know, we talked about that before, but what happens is, you know, basically, allegedly, a Canada spies on us, and we spy on Canada, and then we just share our information. It's just crazy. We realize that everything's in the sight of God anyway, so you don't have to worry about that. But we want to give a big, you know, shout out to all of our veterans, those that have served and those that are serving now, that we want to say thank you, and we want to pray God's protection over you, and pray that, the you know, this would end and you would come home.
That's right.
And not only come home, but come home to a real nice opportunity. And understand right now, I heard Secretary of Defense Panetta talk about they're going to get behind, of course, education, job opportunities, and even helping veterans start businesses.
Oh, good. Oh,
cool.
You know, he says that this is a matter our security. National security, because if we're not do right, if we don't do right by our soldiers who fall for us, we won't have any soldiers that fight for us in the future, basically. And we should just honor them, period. We should honor them, period. And it's amazing. It's totally amazing what they do. And whatever a soldier's motives is when he or she gets in, they all become the same when you get on the front lines. You know, let's survive. Let's come home. And I'm just thankful for him. I'm very thankful for him, and I hope that that it ends soon for you. That's right. World War II was started December the 7th by surprise. America was caught by surprise and did not want to get involved. But what happened in Pearl Harbor has happened many times, like the Benghazi situation. And that would have been a war, declaration of war in history. But today, for some reason, all these decorations, and the enemy's trying to provoke us to war, but hey, you can do that and win the war, and they won't do it anymore. You know, and it's kind of confusing, but it's interesting too that that this Antichrist will come one day and declare peace and try to work out a peace. It's all about peace, so obviously it's going to get more hectic, and you know, people are going to look to those kind of sources. Getting to a lighter moment, a lighter moment is ringtones. You know, I really enjoy the tracking device. You know, they gave us called an iPhone. It kind of tracks you, and I just kind of give it to my dog and let him wander the community and send it on trains, send it out by UPS, you know, send it to Iraq and back. You know, I got visitors here. And and I just I got to be honest with you. There's like 5-6 ringtones, basic ringtones that come with the iPhone. And if you have not yet changed your ringtones, maybe your iPhone's new. It's not really new to us, and we just encourage you. You know, change your ringtone. Take half a day and learn how to change ringtones. It will change your personality. It will change your attitude. I mean, because it does. These phones do everything. They're reminding you about your appointment, to look in your planner, reminding you about alarms going off, telling you, you know, this and that, and ringing, people calling and texting. And it's after a while, it's like, if that noise happens, that means I have something else I have to do. You know, you're in the middle of doing this, and all of a sudden that noise hits off again, and it's at some point, and it's like, come on, we've got to change. So I changed my, so I was a person who said, you know, I don't think you should have songs. You should not have songs on your ringtones.
Yeah.
You know, so funny. I remember, I'm not going to name any names, but if somebody was moving in the faith movement. It was in the faith movement. And they put some country ringtone on their phone after this whole journey of realizing that you got to go through everything else everybody else goes through. And I guess you got to do it in faith. And it was just like, I ain't the man I used to be. I'm like, what's up with that? Oh, my goodness. You know?
Now, ringtone, this is something that we listen to when we call you, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, everybody's is different. Everybody's different. You want to hear Pat's? Hold on a minute.
Yeah, let's hear Pat's.
We'll have to do it in the future. I got to work that one out. But I got.
Oh, I got one.
Do you? I got.
If I don't want to hear.
Go Saints. Go Saints. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who that?
Who that? But I got music because it's just amazing. It's just totally, you know, for a long time, if I put music on, I didn't know it was actually an appointment. I didn't even just start listening to it. Well, you just hear it. Oh, that's a good. Oh my goodness, that's a good song. Because you know, you put a good song, you know. And I have Gungor's song. I don't know if you know who Gungor is, but Gungor wrote the song "Beautiful" and different particular songs. I can't tell you all the songs they wrote, but their album's called "Beautiful." And let me find out where my songs are here. I can't. It says sounds or something, doesn't it say sounds? Mm-hmm. There it is, right there, sounds. It is under alarms. Give me a second. I am going to find these things. I studied them. Beautiful things. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful. You don't know this?
Don't know it.
Oh, maybe my goodness.
No, I don't know the lyrics. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a Christian song.
Oh, well, sing it for us.
He did really well.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We got to pray for these two.
I can hear it in my head, but I don't know the words.
And Dry Bones, you know, Dry Bones. And You Have Me, which is so cool. I love You Have Me. And I played that, you know, when I had gone through surgery sometime back and I was coming out of it, that I played that. I had that playing just coming out of surgery. You know, You Have Me. It doesn't even matter. Good. It's like, You Have Me. I don't care what it is. You know, You Have Me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful song. And Gungor takes stuff and things and instruments and makes beautiful sounds with it to worship God. And they just let people get involved. I mean, it's beautiful stuff. And you heard some of Gungor's stuff before. You just don't remember it. Some of the stuff you're like, ooh. But now it's actually, I think it's a better thing. I do want to say this is very, very important before we go any further that, you know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are we're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has his own that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. We'll be right back in a moment.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what's God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes. Yes,
he cares
he does.
About everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book,
yes,
because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him,
yeah,
and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God.
Mm.
And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, John. It just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or other's journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, John, I remember specifically my parents bringing up when they were kids, they used to listen to and watch the I Love Lucy marathon.
Really?
Definitely. Definitely. I didn't really get to catch more than probably about 5 minutes of an episode. And there was also like the Gilligan's Island marathon. And as a kid, I used to watch the Cartoon Network, and I used to watch the Ninja Turtles. And there was the marathon weekend or the marathon constantly, the consistent program back to back. But I know that when you're listening to the VFN radio program, you're like, I want more. Is there more God? Yes. There's the marathon weekend where you can listen to back-to-back-to-back programs of the VFN radio program. 9 a.m. Central Saturday to 9 a.m. Central Monday. Check it out. Every weekend, all God. The marathon weekend.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together, and two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever,
to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits on our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Not yet. I want to encourage you. Being released this week is Last Ounce of Courage. You want to get that DVD. You want to be able to have it and to watch it. I mean, it's just amazing. That's what we need right now. And it comes from a speech given by Ronald Reagan when he was running for governor, I believe. And he says, you know, if we don't fight, you know, it's going to be terrible in the history books about us. But even if we fight and lose, let it be said of us, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, that we fought to our last ounce of courage.
Mm.
And that's one thing we need today. That's one thing. I mean, think about it. God even told Joshua, be strong and have courage. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord thy God is with thee the way he is with Moses. And so
excuse me, passing his praise to me. Somebody bragged on him. Anyway, so the
praise.
Yeah. And so, let me get my thoughts back here. Where were we? Oh, yeah.
Last
down. Trying to save the country.
Trying to save the country.
Trying to save the country, right? Right. That's what we have to do. And it will really encourage you and inspire you and realize even if others don't have courage, you know, we need to be that voice. We need to be that hope that we're supposed to call be the light of the world. I mean, it doesn't matter. So often, you know, people are saying, listen, I'll fight if I'll win. Mm. You know, if I end up on the winning side, I mean, think about this. Look at the Saints. I mean, they don't care whether they win or not. They will be a fan. They don't care to the last ounce of courage, you know, to wearing a brown bat. I mean, they'll even build a huge stadium as they're losing, you know, and call it the Superdome and never won, you know, right?
Never.
Silent over here. Oh, no, never.
Never.
But it was built prior to them winning.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's faith, man.
It was the color of a brown paper bag. That's what the color of the... It's covered the Superdome, wasn't it?
Yes, it's true.
And it shocked you because when you look in the outside, it looks like a brown paper bag. But when you go inside, it's just so nice.
It was gold, actually.
Was it really?
Yeah, before it faded.
It was a little faded. It was a little faded. But, you know, seriously, though, that's, you know, the tendency of human nature is I'll vote for you if you'll win. Mm. You know, so many people... Today, Americans would not have voted for Jesus. They wouldn't have voted for him if it was a political situation because they would have thought, in the context of it, they wouldn't have voted for Joseph. They wouldn't have voted for Daniel. They wouldn't have voted for David. I mean, David? How could he be going to be the next king? You shouldn't vote for him because he's running for his life. Mm-hmm. Don't you see this dominant person in office right now that's chasing him all over the place trying to kill him? He won't make it to the next election, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it right?
That's right.
You got to check out and go to Viff and Torch and say, you know, what would it be like if King David and Saul, King Saul were running against each other for office? You got to hear that. Maybe we'll have that. Maybe our producer will pull that up for us. I don't know. But understand that we have to get that. You need to get you. I'm telling you, if I was a doctor, I would say, and I'm going to prescribe this to you. Last ounce of courage. You got to get it. And if you're the only one, and listen, everybody that's fighting for our country and that fought for our country, since we're talking about World War II today and Pearl Harbor and all those that fought for us, I mean, many of them fought to their last ounce of life. Mm-hmm. You know, and how can we not fight for this country? And many times this country has looked like it's gone. It looks like it's over. It looks like, you know, crazy things are going on. And I mean, crazy things have happened in the history of this nation. And, but we came out of it because people fought. They fought. They stood up for what was right. I'm not sure what the finger meant. Did it mean? Okay. And it's time for us to fight. It's time for us to fight, but we got to know how to fight. Fight the good fight of faith and stand up. It's okay to stand up to be an American. It's okay to find out what the Constitution says and follow it. You know, we're learning. As a matter of fact, in a moment, we're about to pick up again on the U.S. citizenship test.
Oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited about that. And we're finding out that we don't even know the answers to these questions that we're expecting other people to answer and have the answers to, expecting a Congress and an executive branch, a president of Congress, to be able to follow, when you have to wonder, based on the fruit, do you even know the answers or believe the answers anymore to these questions? And they're very important because it's about, you know, we as a nation. E pluribus unum. But first I want to say, I can't believe this, that our president's talking about going on a vacation for, I believe it's like 3 weeks. I don't know how long it is.
20 days.
20 days in Hawaii, which is away from the mainland, by the way. And going to, while we are sitting on the edge of a financial crisis amongst a war in the Middle East, I mean, wild things are going on. It's like, is this the time to go to Hawaii? I don't know. Obviously, he was born there.
In 10 days. In 10 days.
Yeah, in 10 days. Pretty wild things are taking place now in regards to what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, okay, now you're going away from the mainland. What's going to happen in the mainland when you're over on, you know, in Hawaii?
Right.
And something I just feel in my spirit, you know, as we've been talking about, and we're speaking just from what we know prophetically, that some crazy things have been happening. Some crazy things have been happening worldwide. And, you know, there's some evil people. Mm-hmm. They mean a lot of harm. And we're on the brink of a chemical war in Syria right now, which is really, when you think about Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Turkey, think about Jersey. I mean, it's a small place.
Mm-hmm.
We think in America, everything's like spread apart as far as New York is away from California.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. If something happens in New York, for example, it's going to happen in Jersey. New York City is going to happen in Jersey because they're just that close together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if these chemical weapons that the president of Syria's already mixed up already, you know, loses those chemical weapons, it's going to affect Israel. It's going to affect those some odd reportedly 80,000 U.S. soldiers that are coming on the outskirts right there. I mean, all the leaders of the world are talking to somebody who's murdering his people like they're going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a dangerous time. It's just not a time to go for a vacation as the leader of the commander of the armies, you know, the commander in chief, that, you know, you're saying don't go, don't loose those chemical weapons, but then we're saying don't go to Hawaii right now. You know, hold on a minute. You know, we got soldiers right on the outskirts of Syria. This is the worst chemical. I don't know the name of the chemical, but they're describing it on Fox News, talking about that it's the worst there is, and it's going in convulsions, and it would kill thousands of people, men, women, children.
Sarin gas or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just evil. And somebody who's killed, what, 20, reportedly 40,000 of his own people, whatever the number is, I mean, why do you think he would not kill more? And when the president of the United Nations, I sat there and saw him say openly that he is going to pay the price for these war crimes. Like, now's not the time to mention that. When he has the most biggest stockpile of chemical weapons, reportedly, is in Syria. And it makes him feel like there's no way out. If he feels like there's no way out, I mean, he's like a bank robber holding hostages. You're not going to see those hostages again.
That's right.
And this is very, very dangerous time in the Middle East. Israel's not going to wait for people to respond, right? But they cannot let that cloud go over them. A cloud of chemical weapons. Reportedly, they're saying they would deliver them. They would deliver them by missile or by dropping them as bombs as well from airplanes. And it's just not that big of an area. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can drive from southern Israel to northern Israel, what, 4 hours, 6 hours, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
That's all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like 60 miles or something, as wide as point. And right on the crown of the northern border of Israel is Lebanon and Syria. I mean, it's not that big of an area. It's not that big of an area. So we need to remember, you know, I don't understand. Obviously, you can be president anywhere. I mean, you don't, you know, obviously everything travels with you and you have Air Force One. But we need to pray that our president has wisdom during this time, and we don't just flippantly send our troops somewhere.
Right.
Just tough times. Prophetically, we feel like any moment now, the things that we've been talking about that you can find on the VFN Torch are going to begin to unfold. I mean, they're already unfolding. They've started. They are unfolding, but there's some major unfoldings that are going to take place that David Wilkerson, who's with the Lord now, describes as even it'll knock the breath out of you, that even the most righteous man, and that wouldn't be us, you know, will have to catch his breath. In other words, the one who's done the best at obeying God in the context of their life, even they will be like Ziklag and David, trying to weep till they can't weep no more. And I just kind of sense it in my gut, in my spirit, that we just got to be ready, be prepared, go to VFN TV. Listen, that's why we're here, to be able to inform you. Go to VFN TV and watch the teachings in VFN TV, the prophetic teachings, SOS, you know, Tell of Two Kings, is America Under God's Judgment, part one and part two. No One Cries for Justice. America, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel, to understand the state of the nation. There's so many things we need to understand right now. And so many people are like, hey, you know, what's wrong with Islam? What's wrong with Islam? Well, first of all, if Islam was a peaceful religion, then there'd be nothing wrong. It would just be another religion out there. But it's an antichrist religion that if it has its way in regards to the people who are loyal to the Quran, then there'd be three outcomes for the world. I mean, you'd either, there'd be a rule, the Constitution wouldn't be in rule anymore, the Quran would be in the rule, it'd be called a caliphate,
mm-hmm.
and that people would be converted to Islam, put in servitude, or their life would be ended. And that's three outcomes for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why it's not a peaceful religion. One of the intimate terms in the Quran is God, that the Allah is as close as a sword to your jugular vein. Isn't that crazy?
Amazing.
Yeah, totally crazy. And so that's not an intimate term, by the way. If somebody was wondering if it was or not. So we want to pray, you know, pray for the country, pray protection over the country during this time. Pray the church wakes up. I mean, really, wake. I mean, you can, it's walking in its sleep. It's walking in its sleep. And it's like, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Like, you know, that God's word's not going to come to pass. And you don't want, there's nothing, I mean, it's hard enough to be prepared and things hit, but to be not prepared and hit, it's really bad. It's really, really, really bad, because then you're stuck with somebody leading you by the hand that you would have never even held hands with. And having to, because you're, you know, it's a crazy time. It's a crazy time. And just want to be ready.
Yeah.
Just want to be ready for it. And 3 weeks, or I don't know how many days, 20 days in Hawaii, I would prefer our commander-in-chief, if we have troops about to go in to come for war, boots on the ground in Syria, where they're about to lose chemical weapons that they mix. I think once they mix it, it's like, what, how many days?
60 days.
60 days they'll use them. His end is near as president. His hope does not seem much outside of that, which means, you know, which if he wins, he rules. That's what it boils down to. His father used chemical weapons against the people of Syria. And ultimately, we're looking at one thing that is hopeful. One thing that is hopeful in the news, when you're seeing, and a lot of things are hopeful, but one thing we're seeing is the people of Egypt who voted for democracy, when they saw President Morsi, president with a loose, you know, loosely using that word, that he's totally taken over as a dictator, it looks like, in Egypt, that the people are protesting against that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to rule as a dictator. And they're going and protesting and speaking openly in the streets without hiding their faces against the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, that's like encouraging, because, you know, America doesn't do that. We used to, but we don't, even our own president doesn't say that this is any. Think about it, there's never in the history of the Middle East, based on reports of CBN News, ever been a president or a leader that was of the Muslim Brotherhood. Never. Now, every nation that's had the Muslim Brotherhood in it eventually threw them out because of the things they did. And they were, it was illegal for them to even be in Egypt until our president went there in the beginning of his administration and invited them in the Cairo speech. Reportedly, 8 members came in. You can actually, you know, go to VFN TV and watch him give the speech. We have it in Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel, the state of the nation. You can see him actually doing it. And we were responsible for helping Muslim Brotherhood get in power for the first time in the history of the Middle East. And now they're rising to power in different areas. They said the most organized are the one that normally comes in chaos. And reportedly in Syria, that's who's the most organized. So when all this chaos is said and done, the same, very same thing can happen. And it's like, we are responsible for that. And somebody said, well, why would you be upset about that? It's because people who are loyal to the Quran are not loyal to Jesus. They don't say he's not the Son of God to them. They deny him as the Son of God. They say he's a prophet, and he has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. That's anti-Jesus, or you would say Antichrist. It's an Antichrist religion. And so the Christ and Antichrist do not go together. What do they have? They don't have anything in common. And that's why, as Christians, that it's not the same as Hinduism. It's not the same as these other religions, you know, that are, you know, if you want to be a part of it, you can. If you're not, you're not. But it's a forceful thing with Islam. You know, people, loyalists, you know, we would say as Christianity, somebody who was loyal to Jesus, that's not a negative thing.
Right.
But somebody in the news sector would say, you know, somebody that was loyal to Muhammad, that's a negative thing.
Right.
And, but they wouldn't call that negative. They'll say, they'd say it's somebody that's actually a true Muslim that believes Muhammad wrote, got this book from Michael the Archangel and called the Quran, and that it's from God. And so being loyal to that in their mindset would be loyal to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to break our American mindset where we see things only as Americans, you know, and we're a very small percentage of the world. And believe me, very few people see things our way. It makes me think of Revelation chapter, I don't know, 11, 19 maybe, where it says she fell in a day. I mean, nobody's ever become as wealthy as they have during the time in the history of America.
Mm-hmm.
It said, you know, basically kings got drunk on your power, got rich, and all of a sudden she fell in a day. And they pulled their ships off to watch her, the smoke come up from her. And there's never been, to my knowledge, a nation that's done that like America's done that.
Mm-hmm.
And capitalism. And now people are trying to imitate it, but they're trying to imitate, you know, what took place in America, the wealth that was created. And we made a lot of people. I mean, you look at China. China's wealth came from America buying their products.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, another aspect of them, we hear them say in Washington that they want to raise the debt limit. And we hear semantics that doesn't mean anything to us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look at allowances or some other word, but basically they're just saying tax and spend. That's the they don't say we want to tax people, and they don't say we want to spend more money. But when mm-hmm. they say that they want to raise the debt, they want to be able to raise the debt limit. What they're really saying is this: imagine this. Imagine that you have a credit card, and I'm sure you don't. And imagine you have a debt limit on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only charge so much money on it, and I'm sure you don't, right?
Right.
And you max it out. Let's say your credit limit is $5,000, $10,000, $2,000, whatever it is, and you max it out. And you go to the next store, and you're going to buy, I don't know, a Saint shirt. Say it's Pat. He's going to buy a Saint shirt. And that's what they do. That's exactly what they do. That's a proper response. That when you go to charge money with a card that's maxed out, what do they do? I'm sure you wouldn't know.
Declined.
Huh? They decline it, right? They go, let me try it again.
Here, try this other one.
Try this other one, right? And they say it's declined. And so then you would call your credit card company, for example, and you would say, hey, can you raise my debt limit? Can you raise my credit limit? Mm-hmm. And so they raise it from 20,000 or 10,000, say 10,000 to 15,000. So now you can actually borrow 5,000 more. So when they say they want to raise the debt limit, when you hear that statement over and over and over again, and pretty much right now, most of the Republicans are going, don't want to raise it. And most of the Democrats and the president's leading it saying, listen, we have to raise it.
Mm-hmm.
But what are they really saying? They're saying is the credit card's maxed out for America. We want to borrow some more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to go to China or whoever it is. And we want to borrow another $1.6 billion.
Oh.
But then the president's saying, which we're learning in the citizenship test, and we will learn today, that the president's saying, listen, I want the right to be able to change my credit limit as executive, as a president. I want to be able to change the debt limit myself. So I want a credit card. I want the American credit card. But I don't have to call anybody. I don't want to have to talk to Congress or anybody. If I want to buy some more Saint shirts, if I want to buy some more stuff, I'll just go to myself and go, think to myself. And then I'll say, hey, I'll just raise it up another $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go borrow some more money.
Mm.
Now, what happens to a teenager with an unlimited credit limit that they themselves can change? What happens to that teenager?
They spend it all.
And what eventually happens at the end of all that?
They're destroyed.
They're destroyed.
Yeah.
So our president has personally asked to hold the hem of a nation all by himself, as if he was a king, and not an equal powered branch of government and said, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want, I think I'll take another trillion. I'll go get some more. I'm going to raise the limit some more. One man.
Are they actually considering this?
Well, they even that you would articulate it and write it down and submit it to Congress. And since most people don't understand it, you can understand when it's done and explained that way. Mm-hmm. But since they hear debt limit, what does that really mean? Nobody really knows what it means. And it's right. Like, but you know what it means when it comes to your credit cards.
Mm-hmm. Listen, the vacation at the tune of $4 million. Someone wrote a book about presidential perks gone royal. Last year alone, taxpayers paid $1.4 billion on the first family's travel compared to what the British pay the royals now, only $57 million last year.
Wow.
It's huge.
Yep.
It's huge.
You know, it's amazing. God is allowing this right now. We just need to know what's going on. And when you hear what's really taking place and God's perspective, that you got to say, wait a minute. I think somebody's pulled the plug from this boat. And mm-hmm. I know that I began to try to express it, you know, what God's laid on my heart, and I'll try to do better at it. But I haven't got it fully out yet. But basically, imagine America as a ship, and all these ropes that tie a ship down to keep it steady and stable are being cut. I don't think there's very few ropes left. Maybe the last rope was the debt limit, you know, where somebody can just change it. But the fact that people just don't shock and the news reporters don't go, he wants an unlimited credit card that he did, you know, nobody's saying that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow. I mean, even you would know this. A teenager would know that's not a good thing. Teenagers, there's reports where a teenager committed suicide like 19 years old, around that age. She committed suicide on a college campus because she had charged up her credit cards and she had all these bills laid out on her bed that the credit card company sent. And she looked at that and she was overwhelmed by that and she couldn't handle it, you know, just, you know, probably several $8,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she took her life over
that.
Wow. But look at America, like $16 trillion and we're asking for more and we're not even depressed about it.
Mm.
We're not even depressed about it. Even a teenager knows this is not good. There's no hope outside of unless you have ability to pay that particular thing off. In addition, you know, some of the, you know, the news that's going on, kind of God's news behind the news is Michigan just passed the right to work laws there, which is great. And what that means to those that are not part of union that you, prior to this right to work law being passed, if your company had a union, you were forced to pay union dues, whether you wanted to or not. And now you can pay dues if you want to, and you don't have to pay dues. But to me, my personal opinion is that's sort of like government and having the right to tax somebody. And these unions are getting so powerful because they're forcing people in these states that don't have that law that you have to pay dues so they can have all this money to go fight the government who also taxes us. To be able to force us to do things that we don't necessarily want to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, you should not have a right to force anybody to do those things. In America, you know, if you can tax if you're the Congress, but if you're not the Congress, you can't tax. And it's like, that's what's been going on with the unions. Unions have that kind of power to force their employee, the people who work at that company, if that union's there, based on my understanding of the law, they have to actually pay their dues. But now, the Michigan, who is one of the states where the unions were formed, passed right to work laws, which says basically they don't have to. They don't have to. They could if they want to. So listen, this should be no problem. If the people who don't want to pay the dues don't have to, but if you want to pay the dues, pay the dues. What you're upset about is you can't get a big pile of money forcing people to pay dues that didn't want to pay the dues.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, that's like extortion based on what I've learned in law enforcement. It's a second degree felony in Florida. You know, when you're forcing somebody to do something or threatening them for some sort of outcome, if it doesn't, but if you pass a law, I guess it's not extortion anymore. It's actually government.
Amazing.
But a union should not be government.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's just an organization. You should be able to voluntarily, you know, pay dues. And if people don't voluntarily pay the dues, you lose your power. You know, and it's a vote. It's a vote when people don't pay their dues in regards to that. There's so many things are taking place, and I just want to briefly talk about them. But the last thing I want to mention you know, in this first hour, it's amazing things that are rapidly taking place. But law enforcement agencies right now are reportedly trying to pass laws to force cell phone carriers to keep our text messages. To keep our text messages for at least 90 days to help them in their investigations. Of course, they're saying it's for a good reason. Well, I was encouraged to know when I was watching that report was that they don't. That
very good.
Based on what was reported was that a Sprint is the only one who does, and they only do it for 7 days and they delete it. But you know, AT&T and these other companies, they don't keep them at all.
Good.
Yeah, it's great. Isn't it good? That's wonderful. Great. Well, at the same time, you know, never mind. But they're trying to, like, that is a violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. We can't just tell law enforcement, can't tell a company we do business with, gather our data on us. You're searching our data without, you know, you can't do that. Well, just in case we want to search their data. And it's like, they can't, it's a Fourth Amendment. We really got to get this thing down with the Fourth Amendment. We're going to talk more, you know, about, you know, what the Lord is saying. We want to just kind of give that perspective of God news behind the news, and we're going to have the citizenship test coming up in the extra hour. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Daily Radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them.
You don't have to sign up to get something. It'll just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFNTV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFNTV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFNTV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also Original Intent and Wisdom Moments and
Prophetic Words.
Prophetic Words. And those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live. Like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. We need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king, as his kingdom and the safety of his people.